Good afternoon and welcome to Chat About. I am your host, News Director Larissa Donovan. Joining me in studio today, co-host Kev Jackson.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Goodness.
You think I know that by now?
He doesn't. But joining us in studio also is the Bemidji City Councilor for Ward 4, Emily Rivera. Welcome back and congratulations on your election win, if I haven't gotten a chance to tell you in person yet.
Well, thank you very much. I believe the last time I saw you was prior to that. So good to be back and good to have an extra person in the studio.
You know, Kev's always really great, I think, for comedic relief, right?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I hear you guys in the morning. I know what's up. It's okay.
So tonight's meeting, it looks from, you know, from a distance, like fairly routine business with the oath of office and the reseating of the council. No new faces, but it's going to get mixed up a little bit, right?
Yeah, there'll be some change. Councilmember Thayer will be accepting that resignation for Ward 1 so that she can then be seated in the at-large position.
All right, and then a few items, only one consent agenda tonight, which is a little bit of a variation from the norm where we've seen two or three consent agendas.
Yeah, hopefully we can get back to one consent agenda and make it a little more simple, and that might be a goal of this new year, at least.
Right, and as I understand that the multiple consent agendas are, you know, to avoid any conflicts of interest or some council members having to vote against the entire consent agenda, things like that?
Yep, that's been the thought process in the past, so.
Okay, so the only new business on tonight's agenda is declaring the council vacancy and ordering a special election for Ward 1.
That's correct, yep.
Back to a six-member council, which has been the norm, I think, for the entire time I've covered the city council.
That has been my experience. I think I've served with 10 different council members now in my 4 years. So
wow.
I will need to recount, but I'm thinking it was close to that. So, we'll be advertising. I believe the filing is January 31st through February 14th for that. And then April 11th will be... perhaps the only, but the first election, if the individual who files does not receive 50% of the vote, then it will go on to a regular election in August. I believe that's August 8th. And, you know, it all depends on the number of people who file. And, you know, if it's only one, then that, you know, makes it a little more simple. So we'll see what happens. Can't really predict. Don't know.
Right. And, you know, I think last time there was an open seat in Ward 1, I think maybe 5 people filed back in 2020.
Yeah, I feel like there was really good showing of candidates from Ward 1.
Now, would this be for a full term? Is everybody on a new full term because of the they're not? Okay.
Nope.
It's a different story in every house there, Kev, as I understand.
Yeah, the city is different from the county, which is different from the next levels up. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so... Yeah, I think about the only thing that stayed consistent was school board, because that's just you have to live within the school district. But with redistricting, Ward 3 and Ward 1, there were some changes there. And both have 2 years remaining on that term. So this will be for a 2-year term, the Ward 1.
Okay.
All right. Well, after the Bemidji City Council meeting, they will reconvene as the Bemidji Economic Development Authority. Now, who sits on this authority?
The Economic Development Authority, BEDA, as we call it, it's made up of the City Council. And we convene from time to time to look at economic development projects, you know, say something on the South Shore or, you know, just different economic development opportunities. And so with that, there's officers, and there'll be just that selection of officers that will be addressed in that meeting.
All right. And that just about takes care of the agenda I have printed off here. Any other city business that you wanted to mention, Emily?
No, I think, you know, with the beginning of the year, it's routine, you know, which newspapers we're going to use, which committees people are on, and it's an opportunity for that discussion. So sometimes, you know, that may come up, or, you know, in this situation, stuff might get pulled from the consent agenda. But We do have a really, really busy January, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from the mayor in one of his updates. But, you know, we've got a work session coming up to gauge support on a bust for Bob Peters that's being created, or they're looking into it. My goal plan is to seek placement at the Sanford Center. But because it's, you know, a public place, then public arts and so forth. So we've gone through the public arts process, and so we'll be hearing a presentation on that. We'll also be hearing a presentation on ranked choice voting, and then
that's an interesting concept. Is. Let's talk about it that one a little bit in case people don't know.
Right, sure. Yeah, it's you know, and I don't know the extent if it's they're looking local, statewide, if they're looking for support. We'll know more once we get the presentation. But yeah, it's sometimes a way to simplify situations like we're in now, you know, where
right,
if you
where
do
the two wings of the same bird, basically. But the ranked choice gives a little bit of a levels the playing field a bit for third party, as I understand, right?
Right, right. On a larger statewide or nationwide level. So, yeah, we'll be hearing about that. And we'll also, let's see, be hearing an update on the MnDOT project on 197.
Where that's everyone's favorite.
You know, it's going to be a get your popcorn kind of night and watch.
I will mark my calendar. Larissa, bring snacks.
Yes, exactly. And then at the end of the month, we'll have another work session to get an update from the consultant who has been looking into the process of what to do next with City Hall and the fire hall, because we had that flooding earlier this spring. Everybody that had been downstairs has been relocated, and the question is, do we just refurbish what's there? Do we remodel? Do we have to build new? Fire department has space limitations, and I know the last time we bought a large fire truck, we had to get it special ordered because our doors were low. And so, you know, that's maybe it's just time. And so we'll get an update from them to see, you know, what our options are. And I know that there's going to be a lot of asks in our community because we need a jail too. And yeah. And so
it's all happening all at the same time.
It is, you know, and so maybe there's collaborative work that can be done. Who knows? But in the meantime, you know, we have to try to figure out a way to centralize our staff and have them be in a safe environment that meets their needs, because we're a growing community and, you know, we're changing, and we don't have room to add new staff at City Hall. It's just that packed. So how can we make best use of our spaces? And so we'll get a presentation on that, too.
Well, you mentioned some big issues, but what would you say going into 2023 are the biggest issues and challenges facing the city?
Boy, I guess, you know, that just, for me, it's kind of as things present themselves, because to each person, there's all kinds, you know, what is important is, you know, it could be just having access to safe and affordable housing.
I think that's a top of mind issue.
It's a huge thing. It's a huge initiative, but that takes national and statewide support in order for all of that funding or you know, programming to get down to this local level. And so is it lobbying? What do we do? How do we make that happen? And so, yeah, that's one element. You know, all of the things that are related to the growth and development of the community. I know we've got, you know, on the forefront, we have the rail development, and, you know, there needs to be an agreement before we can take any steps, but, you know, wanting to be aware and proactive. So, you know, as the year evolves, I couldn't tell you from year to year, because I can go into a year and everything switches direction real quick. I can tell you from experience. And so you just roll with the punches. So don't go into it with any set mindset.
Very good, Emily. Well, anything else you want to mention before I let you go today?
No, I think that's it. And we'll see you in a couple months. I'm not quite sure when my next stint is, but I appreciate
this. Well, I'm sure
we'll
see each other.
I think I see you from time to time, at least on a Monday. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in to join us today, Emily. We'll have the second part of our show in just a moment. Welcome back to the second part of our show. Joining us in studio now, Emily left, by the way. She's no longer here. But Tim Sumner from the Beltrami County Board of Commissioners is in. Welcome back and congratulations on your election win.
Yes, thank you. It's glad to be back. Glad to be back. Glad to be here in studio. And it's always nice to be here on chat about, lyrics and all that. If it wasn't chat about, nobody probably would listen to me. So, I appreciate this opportunity.
Great.
Well, we are so glad to provide it. So, the Beltrami County Board meets for the first time in 2023. Work sessions starting a little later than usual. Lighter agenda, I presume, just a few items, right?
Yes. So, this would be our first meeting of the year, which is a light agenda, and it's kind of a probably something that we do every few years. Luckily it's my turn to be on chat about, so it's nice when we have a light agenda. This evening we're doing a few special things, so okay. But we'll get there,
right? We'll get there. So you are still the board chair until the regular meeting.
Yes.
So you'll be leading the proceedings for the work session.
Yes, unless the board decides they want to keep me as board chair, but I don't think that has happened.
It's usually everyone takes turns,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So first item on the work agenda is a local homeless prevention aid grant. Now, this is a top of mind issue in our community. Do you know much of the details about the grant yet?
Luckily, tonight will be more of an update on the grant. We were informed of it maybe a few months ago when we were actually at the Northern Town Hall meeting. Becky Secor, the HHS director, told us, but it wasn't really much of had any details. So this evening we will be informed of what entails are included or what is included with this grant. But I do know that it is roughly approximately $2.1 million over the next 3 years, which is really significant dollars to help the county with the local homeless prevention.
When I think of homeless prevention, I think like housing stability services and things like that.
Yes, so I know that there are a few things, a few requirements and reporting things that that we have to abide by with this grant. So we will find that out this evening. So I'm sure that Becky and Jeff, have a plan in place for how to really allocate this money, distribute it, or have a plan in place. My hope is that it really goes back, into the community to address, the homelessness prevention. There really isn't much, that really goes into it. I know that there are a few agencies that are working with the homeless, so I mean that's after the fact.
Right.
But to prevent it, I think is is something different, and I think we have a great opportunity, here to, address that. And so I'm excited to see what their plans are, and my hope is that it doesn't go to personnel entirely. I'm sure that there's probably going to be a need for case management or something of that sort, but that's a huge amount of money to put back into the community. So I'm looking forward to that update.
Very good. After discussing that for about 25 minutes, as scheduled here, future projects on County State Aid Highways 15, which I know is Irvin Avenue, a bit of a washboard there. And then 32. Now, which one is that again?
32 is would be from the west, from Clearbrook,
okay,
towards Highway 89. And I remember my last chat about, we were talking about roads and road tours and things like that. And as I was reviewing the agenda here, I was quite surprised because at the last meeting, at the last county board meeting a few weeks ago, we did receive an update from the highway engineer, you know, on a few different other projects needing to be pushed back because of funding. So me being me, I jokingly said, well, I know there's a road that really needs desperate repairs in my district. And so 2 weeks later, this road is on the 5-year road plan. So, but, you know, that was a joke. You know, I always try to advocate for county roads in my district because they're in rough shape. So
I think I took 15 to Red B once. And then I went another way back.
Yes.
I couldn't do it.
Yes. You almost get dizzy on that road. And so 15 highway or urban or you know, county road 15 is the second longest road in the county, and the first is, I believe, highway 32. So you know, kind of makes sense that we're working on these roads. So just a quick update. County Road 15 from County Road 32 to, I believe, County Road 26 will be repaired and worked on this summer. So it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting to actually get some of these road projects worked on and fixed that are currently now in my district. You know, these roads weren't in my district last year, but
right.
with redistricting, they are now, and I've always been an advocate for these two roads in particular. So that is exciting. But this portion of CASA 15 that we're talking about this evening would be from the township road to the town hall road to Turtle River Crossing. So okay. That's five mile stretch going north, I believe. So,
and these cost about, it used to be $1 million a mile. Now it's like $1.2 million a mile, right?
Yes. So with inflation and everything going up, you know,
right?
And, roads, you know, aren't any exception. So, a lot of our road projects are kind of based on, you know, the funding that we get from the feds or.
There is
the
a
state.
Sales tax
yes.
in the county
yes.
that helps fund roads
yes,
too,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So a lot of, you know, because of federal funding, these roads here are being pushed up on the 5-year road plan. So it has nothing to do with me advocating for them, but, you know, with everything to do with funding. So I just want to.
Yeah.
And that just about takes care of the work. Session
yes,
agenda.
Yes,
so.
Yeah, it's a pretty late work session agenda, but you know, I don't know if it was mentioned that we are beginning our meeting at 4 o'clock today.
Yeah.
You know, normally it's a 3 o'clock meeting, but with such a light agenda, we will begin at 4.
Okay.
And these meetings are available to view live or after the fact on the YouTube.
Yes.
Which has come in very handy for me personally.
Yeah.
On the regular agenda, some official business, the outgoing recognition and swearing in ceremonies, and a community reception to kick off the regular meeting.
Yeah, well, and this is part of the process that we go through every 2 years with, mm-hmm. with the election or re-election of county commissioners. So this evening we have two outgoing county commissioners that have served the county board, you know, for a number of years, and I think it's fitting that we, you know, recognize their service to the county, and also welcome, you know, the two new county commissioners, you know, to the board. And so this is kind of a formality for us re-elected officials, you know, doing the swearing in oath of office. But, you know, this is a special thing, you know, especially when this is your first time. You know, as I mentioned, we have two new commissioners. And, you know, I remember my first time, and that was 10 years ago. So it's it's a memorable moment. So, you know, I think we just want to, you know, take this opportunity to really welcome them and give them the, you know, opportunity to bring in their supporters, families, pitchers, things like that. So that will be taking place shortly after 5 o'clock this evening.
Right, and after that, the election of board officers. We alluded to that a little bit not too long ago, but the election of board chair and vice chair among the commissioners, and it's not like who's, it's not a very contentious vote, I imagine.
Well, you know, and it's normally it's not. And okay. Usually it's not.
Well, we shouldn't jinx it now.
No. You know, I you know, as outgoing chair, you know, it's it was a really interesting year. You know, there was a lot of you know, big decisions that we had to make this year, and you know, I just want to commend the board for their willingness to really work together. You know, I mean, they're, you know, whether it was, you know, redistricting or the budget process, or there's just a number of things that we deal with that could really have an impact on our working relationship. But, you know, luckily after you know, our board meetings, you know, whether we agree or not, we always you know, move forward and realizing and understanding that, you know, it's not about us. It's about the people that we represent. It's about, you know, Beltrami County. So, you know, I'm proud of you know, my time as board chair this year. And it was interesting because at the beginning of the year, you know, we always, you know, elect or make a motion to elect our board chair. But with me this year, it took asking, you know, a couple of you know, times, you know, for a motion and a second before somebody actually made the motion and second to nominate me as board chair. So, you know, so who knows?
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see. And we only have a few more minutes of our show today. A couple of items on the regular agenda for the county board this afternoon. A retirement recognition for Becky Secor.
Yes, Becky has been with the county for a number of years, 8-9 years, and she submitted her retirement letter a few months back. And so I believe today is her last day, and the county has found a new Health and Human Services Director to replace her in her retirement.
Changing of the guard all over the place.
Yes, you know. So I'm fortunate, and I feel fortunate for her and her help guiding us through, you know, this past couple of years. You know, I mean, it was pretty rough, mm-hmm. You know.
From a fiscal cliff to a pandemic,
yes,
and everywhere in between.
Yes, so I mean, if that doesn't speed up the process of wanting to retire, I don't really know what will.
Right. After that, commissioner committee assignments. I think most people know that the commissioners don't just have their 2 meetings a month. There's a lengthy list of committee assignments to go along with it.
Yep. So I believe there may be some interesting discussions this evening when it comes to commissioner assignments. Mm-hmm. You know, as you know, you mentioned, Larissa, there is more to being a commissioner than 2 meetings a month. You know, we do have commissioner assignments, you know, and that, those are, you know, like the Kichigami Regional Library, Greater Bemidji, Black Duck Ambulance. So there's just a number of work that we do, you know, as commissioners. So tonight we will have that discussion on one, which
who gets what?
Yes, and you know, there has been, you know, some discussions amongst a few commissioners on what they want, and almost deciding, you know, for others what other commissioners get. So I mean, we
have a word for that in JCDM. It's called voluntelling.
Yeah.
you have been voluntold to use in a sentence. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So we'll see where that goes, and hopefully we get to some compromises. So. So basically, you know, the rest of the agenda is just kind of formality. You know, we have a new sheriff, and the sheriff today will be, I guess, making his maybe first day on the job. But, you know, the county board does oversee the county budget and salaries of, you know, the elected officials, you know, commissioners, auditor, treasurer, sheriff, you know, attorney. So it is in statute that the county board does set the salary for the sheriff. So it's a kind of a formality.
Right. And anybody can view this because it will be in the public record.
Yes. Yep.
And that after that, legislative lobbyist discussion, I'm sure there's a laundry list of things, top of mind being bonding money for that new jail.
Well, you know, and Beltrami County hasn't really had a lobbyist in the 10 years that I have been on the board.
Usually piggybacking on the Association of Minnesota Counties,
And they do a great job of providing, you know, efforts down at the Capitol. But, you know, if you've seen the 13 priorities that Beltrami County has this year, I think, you know, maybe that warrants a discussion to decide whether we do need a lobbyist or not. You know, we do have a county jail that, you know, we're trying to get bonding for, potential sales tax. So We definitely need somebody down there really working
pestering.
on our behalf, because some of this is really important, and you know, AMC, who we depend on, is really spread thin, and we'll see what happens with this discussion this afternoon. So, yeah.
All right, Tim.
So besides the jail, which is the biggie, what are some of the key things you think the county is going to have to be working on here in the next year?
Well, I know that mental health is really something that we're keeping an eye on and hoping that we can try to find a way to really address that. You know, we've been fortunate to have the partnership of local organizations, you know, and Sanford Health, and to help with addressing that. You know, as I mentioned, there are 13 priorities that Beltrami County has. You know, that's, CPA funding, county program aid, PILT, payment in lieu of taxes, you know. So, I mean, there's a whole list that, you know, we really need to keep an eye on, and with the state having a $17 billion surplus, I can't imagine, you know, the work that they are going to be having to deal with, you know, with 87 counties, you know, knocking on their doors, you know, let alone
not to mention the cities
and townships,
schools.
My hope is that the state would you know, put back some of that money into counties and help us fund some of those unfunded mandates. So that's my hope.
You know? Okay.
All right, Tim. Any other thoughts as we close out our session today?
No, I just want to remind people that today's regular board meeting is open to the public, and all are welcome. It should be a pretty fun meeting.
As in, there might be cookies?
Yes.
Okay. Those are the fun meetings, trust me.
Yeah. And if you can't make it, there is a YouTube link on the county website. So, again, Happy New Year, and it's always great to be here.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim Sumner from Beltrami County Board of Commissioners. I'll be back to wrap up today's show and to preview tomorrow's in just a moment.